Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Vero-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today our guest is Deborah Weiss-Ford. She's an attorney at law with Jackson Lewis. Boy, Deb, an employment attorney in these days and times. Can you imagine? You must be bored to tears.
I am. You know, I don't know why I picked this profession and this specialty. So, yeah, you know, I just feel so irrelevant these days.
It's crazy, isn't it? But it must be nice not to have to deal with as much COVID conversation as you've had in the past. Of course, there's some stuff, but not that much.
Yeah, it is, Dave. I mean, you know, as you know, since March of 2020, it's been 24/7 of COVID, COVID, COVID. And, you know, as I know you feel the same way, it's been great that we have a skill that's needed by our clients. I think we've been very relevant and very necessary through really, really difficult times. And that persisted right until recently. And still, I'm still spending, you know, 20-30% of my day on COVID issues, but that's better than 100% of my day. So we're making progress.
It's exactly right. And so, you know, I had mentioned before the show that it seems like some of the old stuff that we used to talk a lot about is all coming back into the workplace, and it's certainly hitting the news. And of course, our topic today is, workplace romance. And by the way, that, I believe, goes back to the beginning of time, does it not?
Oh, I think it does. You know, I saw this stat that said that we spend about 90,000 hours at work during our lifetime, which is just staggering and completely overwhelming. So when you are spending that much time at work, and whether it's remote or whether you are back in the office now, you're just going to have these issues in the office. That's how you meet people.
Yeah. And, you know, I know you and I had this conversation during the COVID times, that some of this would go away because of remote work, but it really hasn't, has it?
No, I think that's really surprising. I mean, we expected to see the numbers going down for harassment cases and discrimination cases because you're not in the workplace. And most of us were remote for a long period of time. About 2/3 of the American workforce was remote for about a year. And now there are, I think the last statistic I saw was something like 60% of people are back in the office, and that's going to be increasing, obviously, each month. So you would expect that we would have seen a decrease in harassment and discrimination cases, but oddly, there was about a 23% increase in harassment cases in the workplace.
Yeah, it is puzzling, but I guess it continues to be what we call life, right? This internal thing is human behavior that we have in regards to connection with other people and the way we connect with other people. And, you know, we talk about phrases like work husband, work wife, work partner, whatever it is. And that's been going on forever. So, you know, we know that it's hit the news. We know these things are happening. What are some of the real issues you're seeing today, and not only in the news, but really in your practice as well?
Yeah, so that's an interesting point. So a SHRM study said that about 23% of workers say they have some type of a work spouse. That's a pretty high number. So almost a quarter of workers feel that way. And we would expect, in some regards, we would expect to see more of these issues during COVID because people are anxious. People are depressed. There are a lot of, as you know, mental health issues in the workplace, which we've always seen, but of course was magnified by the COVID issue. And when you are in isolation and when you are stressed, you tend to reach out to people. It's just a human thing to do. So as you say, this is an age-old issue that we have been dealing with in the workplace as long as anyone can remember. But I think it's intensified now because people are not doing well. I mean, I think if you say you're doing okay right now, that really means you're doing great. And if you say you're doing great, no one believes you. It's just sort of impossible with what we have been through and what we're still going through. So we're going to continue to see these issues in the workplace, the natural progression of a friendship relationship in the workplace that turns into something that is sexual, whether it is consensual or not, each are fraught with issues.
Yeah. So let me start with a basic question, because I think, you know, the audience knows what that this happens, that they understand it. But a question comes up with, let's just start with a basic thing of hugging at the workplace. I don't know how many people I've gone back to see now that it's easier to see people. And the first thing they do is give you a big old bear hug sometimes. Says, oh my God, it's so good to see you. And some people are uncomfortable with that. And you're almost like there's this awkwardness now between the COVID like distance plus this human feeling like you want to connect. It has created some awkward moments at times.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, I think this has been an issue in the workplace for a while. But after hashtag MeToo became so prevalent in the workplace, with people being aware of issues and talking more openly, all of which I think is terrific. You know, we are really focusing more on things we always did. You know, the hi, sweetie, hi, babe, you know, I'll take a hug. And that response you get back of, I've always done this. It's a generational thing. No one ever says it, that it's not okay. But, you know, I do a lot of respect in the workplace training, and I'm constantly talking about this issue. And it's interesting you brought this up, because I think it's the number one question I get when I'm doing trainings. Is this okay? And my response to that is no. I think in 2022 and well before that, it's not okay to give hugs in the workplace. You know, I hate to sound like a killjoy here, but there are lots of folks who don't like hugs, who are uncomfortable with it, who don't want to be touched in the workplace, and don't always feel comfortable saying, stop, I don't want this. And of course, they're not legally obligated to do that, right? That's not a standard that they have to meet. So I am not a fan of it. And when I do trainings, I really talk about this, get a lot of pushback, because I know you do trainings too, and I'm sure you get pushbacks as well. But I explain to people that you really never know how someone feels about something. And, you know, when particularly when a boss comes in to give you a hug, you're going to be comfortable saying, stop, you're bothering me. No, I'm not comfortable. You know, could you just not touch me? Probably not. So it's fraught with all kinds of issues.
I think we should just put it in the handbook, Deb. Hugs are required. That way you can get it right. You know, you can solve all that problem. It's right there. Line 6, paragraph 3. Right there. Okay. No.
Yeah. Of course, you're presuming that people read the handbook, and that's a whole different training that we need to do. Yeah.
Let's be honest. Nobody reads. We'll just establish that basic premise right now in terms of it. That's fine. All right. Well, again, you're listening to the HR Power Hour. And of course, I'm your host, Steven Chulo. And today we're talking with Deborah Weiss Ford, attorney at Jackson Lewis. And we're talking about romance in the workplace. You know, Deb, it's funny. There are so many concerns and issues with this that, as you said, is kind of like going backwards a little bit to what has happened in the past, because we haven't been talking much about this in the last couple of years. What do you see some of the legal issues in terms of this? What do you think that employers really need to look at today to strengthen maybe their handbook, to strengthen maybe their policies, to strengthen maybe their development and training?
Yeah, that's a good question. I really think that romance in the workplace should be part of the typical training that we do for respect in the workplace. And of course, several states require mandatory respect in the workplace training. Some of them are on an annual basis. Some states don't require it. But the best practice, in my opinion, is to do respect in the workplace training once a year. Most of us have been doing this by webinar during COVID. I do prefer to do it live. I just think you get more interaction. But whether you're going to do it by webinar or whether you're going to do it live, I think employers, large and small, should set a set time every year when they do the training, a separate training for employees and a separate training for managers, because with managers, you want to go over the affirmative obligations they have under state and federal law to deal with the situation. How do I respond to it? What am I supposed to do? Do I go to HR? What's the policy? Am I in compliance with the policy? So that's the first thing that we really want to see employers do. And the subset of that is to add at least a few minutes on romance in the workplace, because I don't often think that employers are aware of the perils of it. you know, when the relationship goes south, for example, that can be all kinds of issues in the workplace.
You know, you brought up a good point about, you know, doing these trainings and being ready for it. One of the questions that I had on this is, again, the handbook side of it. Is there anything that an employer, if they haven't looked at their handbook in, and I'm not talking about the whole handbook, but just this section of the handbook, is there something that they should add to it today? Is there something they should review on it today? Is there anything that's changed kind of in the last couple of years that would be good language for them to put in this? Is it something they should review?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I am a big fan of reviewing handbooks on a yearly basis. And, you know, when I started practicing a long time ago, we won't, you know, give the
date. I thought it was a week or two ago. Is that
true. That's through my memory. See what's happening? So you're calling me out on it. So that's right.
That's all right. Just asking.
Right. But, you know, we used to say that employers should review handbooks every 3 to 5 years. And that was advice that we gave for decades. And the more recent advice is that you really need to look at handbooks on a yearly basis. This is particularly so in the COVID era when we have a lot of folks working remotely. And we are now hiring people remotely, in part because it's very difficult to hire folks, and also because we're recognizing that some jobs can be done from anywhere. And if you do that, so if you hire a remote employee in Texas or Alaska or Oregon, wherever, you need to have a supplement to your main handbook or whatever state that you are primarily located in, because the laws of that state are going to apply to that employee. So that's a long-winded way of saying you really should be looking at this at least on a yearly basis, because you need to do your supplements. Now, as it pertains to romance, yes, I do think that for those employers listening today who don't have a policy, we should look at those policies, and those are going to be under your anti-harassment, anti-discrimination sections in the handbook. Usually, you need to consider not only the federal law, which is Title VII for the most part, but some states have state laws as well, which are going to be applicable to the situation. So we want to put that in the handbook of what is your policy with romance in the workplace? Are you going to allow it? Do you want to say something about it? Are you going to put in parameters? Are you going to have a reporting procedure? What if I'm involved in a relationship? Do I need to report it to HR? And if so, what does HR then do? So there's lots of thought processes and philosophies that go behind the subject matter of what an employer wants to do in terms of romance in the workplace.
Are there any best practices when it comes to romance in the workplace from the standpoint of two individuals who are dating, or, you know, I'll give you an example, family businesses. There are tons of husband and wives and sons and daughters and cousins and nieces and nephews and all that typically work at some, you know, family businesses. There's also just a regular private or nonprofit that has a couple of different locations, and they might have a few family members, or you know, a hospital, large system that has 10,000, 15,000 people are potentially going to have conflicts like that in that. Are some good practices that you could suggest?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'll give you the employment lawyer answer, or maybe the answer a lawyer gives to every single question. It depends.
Yeah.
And it really does. Yeah. You know, look, if you have a family business or a small business and you brought your son or your daughter or, you know, your niece, your nephew, whomever, into the workplace, then, you know, you can't have a policy that's a strict anti-nepotism policy. That's just not going to work for you. So I think every employer needs to look at these situations and decide what works best for the employer. But I do think it's wise to have a policy that talks about if you are in a subordinate situation. So if you have a supervisor that enters into some type of a romantic relationship, consensual, let's say, with a subordinate, then you really need to have a policy about that, because that's not okay any way you look at it. The problem is that the supervisor, who may be responsible for the subordinate's terms and conditions of employment, hiring, firing, promotions, working the third shift, you know, whatever it is, if that is the case so that they have power over that person, that being involved in a romantic relationship is not going to be okay. And that's something that the employer has to deal with, both in terms of the policy and in practical action, In terms of whatever they're going to do for the reporting procedure so that the employer can deal with that specific situation.
You know, you're talking about obviously a power imbalance, right? Somebody who has more power over somebody else. And we're going to talk about a little bit of that and some sexual harassment issues right after we come back. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And Deborah Weiss Ford and David Chulo, your hosts, will be back in just a minute.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employer relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and today our guest is Deborah Weiss Ford. She returns, as you know, as an attorney at law with Jackson Lewis, and we're talking today about romance in the workplace. I love this topic. No pun intended, right? I love this.
None taken,
right? In terms of this conversation. As we left last segment, we were talking about kind of the power imbalance, somebody who has authority over somebody else, somebody who, having a relationship with somebody who is your subordinate. Talk a little bit about the harassment issues, maybe the favoritism issues that could be created, and why it's just not a good idea, and maybe what should be done if those situations are not reported.
Sure. So you are really looking at issues under both federal and state law, and we can take a look first at Title VII issues, and those are issues where you may have harassment in the workplace based on the relationship. So sometimes the relationship is not consensual. You could have what they call a quid pro quo, which is just Latin for this, for that. You know, sleep with me or you're fired. And a clear power imbalance issue of a boss taking advantage of a subordinate. Those used to be about, 80, 90% of my cases. They're really less than 5% now. And I don't know if you see anything different, Dave, but I don't see that as much.
Yeah, very little.
Right. And I think maybe that's in part due to trainings, but really where I spend my time in this field is on hostile work environment cases, which is unlawful under federal and almost all state laws across the country. And basically what you're looking at is unwelcome comments or unwelcome conduct that's based on a protected class, such as sex, race, religion, pregnancy, et cetera. And it interferes with the employee's work environment, and it creates a hostile, intimidating, threatening environment. And that's part of the problem with these particular cases, because you'll have this power imbalance and you'll have someone who's taking advantage of someone, and that creates this hostile work environment, which is just exploding, across the employment world and has been for decades.
You know, this gets obviously into the question of when you really have one person saying one thing and another person saying another thing. This is what HR professionals talk to me about a lot. Look, we have two people that have said one thing One says they didn't do it. One said they did do it. One's saying it's causing a hostile work environment. The other saying that it isn't. How do employers deal with it when it's just a one-on-one? Because it is really probably, unfortunately, a majority of what we're seeing with not a lot of collaboration by others sometimes.
I think that's right. So I think the first thing the employer really needs to think about is how to do a proper investigation. And you and I think we did a different segment on investigations a couple of years ago. And it's really important for employers to understand that the investigation is so critical. Who's going to do the investigation? Do you have someone in-house who was trained in it, or do you need to go outside? And whether that's an outside counsel who has to be independent, not your own counsel, because it raises credibility issues and favoritism issues, or are you going to be able to do the investigation in some other way to keep it impartial? I think that one of the biggest problems in this field is that employers either fail to do an investigation because they don't know they're supposed to do one, or they do an inadequate investigation. And when I'm litigating, to me, this is the key defense. You need to be able to show that you looked into the allegations, you took them seriously, you interviewed witnesses, you looked at any documents, and you reached a conclusion. And whether the conclusion is she did this, he did that, I really can't tell, but this is what we're going to do, such as education, re-implement the policy, do some one-on-one training, maybe terminate, maybe do a written warning, whatever it is. The employer, it's incumbent upon the employer to do something. And this is the number one issue in my mind of why some of these cases are so difficult to defend.
Yeah. And I do see people that say, well, it probably won't happen again. Right? There's that. I don't really want to deal with that. It's kind of past. It's, you know, it's something that happened. Let's just, you know, can we just move on? And that's probably and I do realize that, and you probably see it as well, conflict, right? Conflict discussions and dealing with difficult people is a challenge that a lot of people have been trying to move forward as a leader.
Yes, it's really a vexing problem. We have consensual issues and non-consensual issues. And the non-consensual issues, things I see are social media, you know, posting things on social media, text messages are a big deal. You know, I had one last week, for example, as a sort of a classic case that I see all the time. And just a good example of what we're talking about here. And here was somebody who was a supervisor who was interested in a female subordinate. She was unable, because she was worried about retaliation and losing her job, to tell him to stop and that it bothered her. He sent her, in a span of a year, over 1,000 text messages. A lot of them had memes and images of sexual things and sexual comments and cartoons, and some were, do you want to come over to my place? We can get drunk, we can do drugs, you know, all kinds of things like that. And it just went on and on and on and on. Most of which she didn't respond to. Sometimes she responded and just said, yeah, you know, or something like that to try to get him to stop. But these are the typical imbalance issues that you have. He's interested in her. She's not saying no. He persists, and it's not okay. And that's the kind of behavior that the employer really needs to look at closely, do the investigation, come to a decision, likely a termination in this case. And that's the type of thing that we see on an ongoing basis. At least once a week, I have a case like that, at least.
Yeah, you mentioned the word retaliation, and I think that's an important topic to talk about, because there is this question about what is retaliation? What does that truly mean? And I have heard people who have been given a second chance say, well, does that mean I cannot talk to them, or should I keep a distance from them, or how do I handle that? And what does it mean if I say something? Will that mean I'm retaliating? And as an employer, they ask, well, what do I have to look for in retaliation? What policies do I have to go through? Can you give a little more on that? I think that's an important topic for this.
Yeah, I think it is too. So retaliation is a separate cause of action under federal law and under most state laws as well. So the simple example is that I come to you as my boss and I say that someone is sexually harassing me in the workplace. And you say, gee, thanks for telling me, Deb. I like him better than you. You're fired. Okay. Now, look, it's not usually going to be that black and white, although in a crazy way, sometimes we actually do see things like that. But the point is that it is you are taking adverse action against me because I, in good faith, reported something that was unlawful. And that's what retaliation is. And it can be retaliation for a sexual harassment complaint, for a race harassment complaint, for a whistleblower. There's all kinds of things where retaliation comes into play. One of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission investigators recently told me that this is the thing they deal with most. This is the largest cause of action that they see at the federal agency. So sometimes I can get the underlying case thrown out. It's not sexual harassment. It's not severe or pervasive. It's not unwelcome. It doesn't meet the elements of sexual harassment. But the supervisor took adverse action, which was retaliation, and the retaliation claim stands, but the underlying case goes away. So this is something, I'm glad you brought this up, because this is something I really like to spend a lot of time with in my trainings with supervisors and managers, because they need to understand the retaliation piece. You know, you give me a review on April 1st, and I am meets expectations, scale of 1 to 5, I get all 3s, okay? I'm not great, but I'm not horrible either. And then on May 1st, I complain that someone has sexually harassed me. And on June 1st, you terminate me and you say it's because of my job performance. Well, when I'm in court, my lawyer is going to, you know, blow up a poster, you know, the size of the courtroom to show my evaluation, which says I met it, to show that there's some temporal proximity, closeness in time between when I complained about a sexual harassment piece and when I got retaliated, i.e. fired. That's what we see over and over and over again. It's just incredible to me how many times I deal with retaliation issues in the workplace.
And of course, well, you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. I'm your host, David Chulo. We're talking with Deborah Weiss Ford about romance in the workplace. Of course, this is HR Educational Radio. So, Deb, we've been talking about retaliation. How does that apply when we're talking about the Whistleblower Act and somebody, you know, whistleblowing on somebody else, going on in the business, and they retaliate that as well? Maybe it has to do with a relationship.
Sure. No, it's the same issue. You're still going to have laws that will protect whistleblowers. Generally, that is state laws, although there are some federal laws that protect as well. And in that case, when somebody makes a complaint, you know, I say that there's an OSHA violation and there's safety issues in the workplace. You know, you haven't complied with CDC guidelines, for example, or OSHA guidelines during COVID, or there is some kind of a accounting miscalculation or error or something unlawful that's being done. And I come into the CEO and I say, I think the CFO is doing something unlawful. If I get terminated, or if any adverse action is taken against me, right, it doesn't just have to be termination, it's the same premise. That would be retaliation. And usually in these specific statutes, there are damages for retaliatory behavior, which often includes getting your own attorney's fees as well.
You know, certainly in today's market where it's hard to find great talent and you're trying to retain talent, morale's a big issue. And these type of issues, these type of, you know, romance in the workplace issues can cause real morale issues. Have you seen that recently, and maybe an example of what can cause some real problems?
Oh, sure. I think that's right. The difference in today's world is that everything is viral in a nanosecond. You know, being able to post something takes 2 seconds. I mean, you and I are very active on social media, and we know that, you know, we post things all the time, and hopefully that's helpful to our HR community and to our other business partners to post information and things along those lines. But the negative part of it, at least from the perspective of the person who's in trouble, is that these things also go viral in a nanosecond. So Jeff Zucker is a good example. You know, the former head at CNN, he was in a consensual relationship with the director of marketing and I think communications as well. But he was in a long-term relationship. From everything I've read, it was a well-known secret, as they say. Yes. And it only came up because there was an investigation into Chris Cuomo, the CNN anchor, regarding certain acts he took when his brother, Governor Cuomo, or former Governor Cuomo, was under investigation for sexual assault and sexual harassment. And in the context of that, when Zucker was interviewed, he admitted that he was in a relationship with someone who at least in part reported to him. He since resigned, and that's a typical example, high profile, but a typical example of what we see. And we saw this with the with McDonald's and University of Michigan, and we could go on and on with examples of very public figures who have had, in some cases, a consensual relationship, but the relationship was with a subordinate, and the employer has decided, rightfully so, that it's a power imbalance and could be an issue under federal, state law, and also favoritism issues in the workplace, which is always a huge morale issue.
Yeah, I think, you know, this is, as we've said, this goes back into years and years and years of relationships. And as you said, people work with people a long time, and there are going to be relationships that come from this. I don't remember the stat, but it's somewhere around 18% of all people who work together get married. I think it's a pretty good number when you think about that. They have a relationship that ends up in actual marriage. And the reality is that you're not going to be able to stop it. It's human behavior. It's really about the reporting and the reaction to it after. Right. I mean, I don't see any way to make anybody say you're not going to have a relationship with anyone. I don't see that being reality. But there has to be a way of saying, hey, we openly want you to report it. We're not going to say it's bad. We're just going to ask you to report it so that we can make sure we do the right thing.
Well, that's right. Look, there are a lot of famous people who had started a relationship at the workplace, Michelle and Barack Obama. Bill and Melinda Gates. Maybe that latter one is not a great example because it ended up in a divorce, but you know what I'm saying. That we see this in the workplace all the time, and all of us know people, are people, you know, who have met our spouses, our partners in that way. So I think we have to differentiate between two things. There's the non-consensual issue that we just talked about in terms of sexual harassment and a power issue and an imbalance issue, and all kinds of issues that come out of that fact pattern. There are consensual issues in the workplace. You know, if we are even peers, you know, on the food chart, you know, we are on an even hierarchy, then you wonder whether there are any particular issues with us having a consensual romantic relationship, because one is not in charge of the other. And so that's different than this power imbalance of a superior being in a consensual relationship like Zucker was with someone who at least in part reported to him. Those are the cases that I think are so bothersome and so difficult to deal with.
No, I agree. And we're going to talk about that consensual relationship discussion right when we come back. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
Let me ask you a question. How do you feel about genetically modified ingredients?
Don't like them.
Artificial flavors and colors?
No thanks.
Clean ingredients.
Now that I like.
When you care about what's in things and what's not, shouldn't your vitamins be clean too? Sundown Vitamins are all clean all the time. Non-GMO, free of gluten and dairy, with colors and flavors from real food. We even have USDA certified Sundown Organics and kids vitamins too. When you're living clean, choose clean with Sundown Vitamins at supermarkets, drugstores, or on Amazon.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
There's no better time to freshen up your home than right now.
Blinds.com is giving you up to 35% off everything site-wide. As a warm welcome to a new season, Blinds.com makes it so convenient to order online with free shipping and a guaranteed perfect fit for your windows. Whether you DIY or have them handle the install from start to finish, you really can't get it wrong. You'll love the views when you have brand new custom window treatments to enjoy. Whether you're looking for high-performance solar and roller shades, the classic silhouette of a Roman shade, or want to enhance your home with the warm textures of bamboo shades, Blinds.com will help you get a stunning new look this season. Visit Blinds.com right now with up to 35% off everything from blinds, shades, interior shutters, and even outdoor shades. Rules and restrictions may apply.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and Farrell-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to HR Educational Radio. And we're talking with Deborah Weiss Ford, attorney at law at Jackson Lewis Law Firm. Great sponsor. By the way, thank you to all our sponsors, of course, each and every week. And of course, you can listen to the HR Power Hour on not only WLOB, but also your favorite podcast channel, Spotify, Pandora, iTunes, on and on and on. You can go, you can listen, you can like and learn. That's what we ask you to do each and every week. And of course, if you want to go to hrpowerhour.com, you can see all our smiling faces and you can see our guests and click on all the archived shows as well. So we appreciate you joining us today for this fun topic of romance in the workplace, which we, quote unquote, love to talk about. Deb, we talked about for the last couple segments, you know, maybe a little bit about people who were not consensually having a relationship. Let's talk about that consensual side now and some of the policies, some of the things that you can do to help people stay in the guardrails with these type of relationships that work.
Right. So it's something like 75% of employers don't have any kind of a policy dealing with romance in the workplace. That's a pretty large number. We're seeing that change a little bit, that more employers are implementing policies in part because some of the news, the current events are so public that, like Zucker, for example, that a lot of employers are saying, well, I think I really need to have a policy here. So there's a couple of things that employers can do. I mean, one is that we would like to see something in the handbook that addresses the situation. Two is that this policy, whether it's in the handbook or you do a separate policy, really should establish a reporting mechanism. So if people are in this supervisor subordinate position, so an unequal balance of power, there should be a reporting procedure, generally to HR, where you actually go to HR, as uncomfortable as that may be, and say, yes, I'm in this relationship. Because I think what has to be established is, can the relationship be changed work-wise? In other words, can you change it so that there is no longer a reporting responsibility? Can the person report to somebody else? Because any time that there's a reporting responsibility at the manager, for example, is doing the terms and conditions of employment for the subordinate, evaluations, pay increases, anything along those lines, that's not okay. And you have to change that. And sometimes that may mean termination of someone because you may not be able to manage that in the workplace.
No, you're exactly right. I think back in early part of my career, my wife worked for Shaw Supermarkets, large chain, obviously. And so I had left another opportunity as they were, I actually was the only time I was laid off in my career. The organization had gone, you know, was going belly up. And so, of course, I walked into this, into the, her workplace and the manager found out and they said, we'd like to put you right to work. And so, of course, why would I say no? That's the right thing to do. But of course, my wife worked in the same place I did. And so we had this big discussion about who was going to go to another location. Was it going to be her or me, right? And then, and so it's, my wife still has not forgiven me that she had to leave, but that's another whole issue. And but that's how they dealt with it, right? I went to another location. I would have potentially been in a leadership role and she was one of the leaders as well, but it could have been a real problem. So they just simply separated and you could both work at the company.
Yeah, and so that's a really interesting story, and it's a good point because what we have seen traditionally, because more men are still in supervisory positions, right? Women are still lagging behind. So oftentimes it's been the woman who has been terminated or transferred to a different location. And you can imagine in today's world, that could be a discriminatory act. So the employer has to be very, very careful in how it responds to that type of a situation, because it could unwittingly be putting itself in a discriminatory position. So that's a really good story.
Yeah, they were very good about it. They asked us who would like to move, and they had that first discussion, and they kind of laid out here's the reasoning and the training and what we need in the store, that store, and so that's, we went through the process. They did a nice job of it. It wasn't like they said you absolutely had to. I could have gone to the other one too, but we both made the decision to do that. But the bottom line is, you're right. Today is a different world. Do we have to say when that was? Can I skip what year that was?
I think
I'm going to not choose to do that. But pre-2000s, let's just say that. How's that for that
Fair
area?
Enough.
It's terms it. All right. So, we have, there's a term that has been used, and it's called love contracts, right? And I've heard employers talk about this before. That sounds a little risque, just so you know. I'm not exactly sure. Talk me a little bit about that.
That's a very unfortunate term. So, really what it is, it's an agreement and an acknowledgement of a consensual relationship. That's really what it is. But we call it a love contract because it's easier and it's funny. So, that's why we do that. Most employers don't do what's known as love contracts, but many employers in this day and age are doing this consensual relationship agreement. And all that is the employer giving some kind of a form we do this all the time, to the people involved in the relationship that basically says, yes, I'm involved in a relationship. Yes, it's consensual. Yes, there's no, power imbalance, no retaliation. I haven't experienced anything like that. And that I'll inform HR immediately and in writing if the relationship terminates, so that, we can look at retaliation issues. Because sometimes retaliations come about when the consensual relationship goes south. Somebody breaks up with someone, someone's going to be unhappy, one person Yep. wants it, one person doesn't want it. And, you can imagine, and I know you have seen lots of issues in the workplace. For me, this is how I generally become involved as the employment lawyer. A relationship goes south, somebody's unhappy, sends text messages that are inappropriate, says inappropriate things, doesn't give the person a plum assignment or blocks them or ostracizes them. That's what we normally see. So the so-called love contract, this consensual agreement, is basically just saying, look, I'm in a relationship, everything is fine. I understand that there's a policy. I understand I can't retaliate. I understand if it goes south, that I'm not going to retaliate. I'm going to, be a good citizen and not take any adverse action. So that's really what that's all about. As I say, not a lot of employers use that, but it would be a good idea for HR to be aware of a consensual relationship, particularly if it's a subordinate to a superior relationship, to deal with the imbalance of power.
You have HR or help them through the conversation of employees saying, that's my life. I don't want to report that. I don't have to talk about that, especially if they're at the same level. Let's clear. The supervisor one, I think it's hard to argue, but how about at the same level?
At the same level, I personally, I don't get too torqued up about that. I mean, you're at the same level. I don't really see where you're going to have the normal retaliation issues. But having said that, even if you're at the same level, you can see harassment issues if it goes south. You break up, it's a nasty breakup, or it's not a nasty breakup, but one person wanted to and one person didn't. And so I think even in those situations, it behooves HR to be aware that people are people. And even though we may not want to do things that are nasty or rude or disrespectful, we are sometimes going to do that. It's just human nature. And so I think it's sort of a eyes wide open type thing. The other thing that I do want to say is that some of the issues that you have, even in consensual relationships, are favoritism, a perception of favoritism by other employees. And that's a pretty formidable issue in the workplace. CNN is a good example of that, where some employees thinking that this particular employee who was in the relationship with Zucker, received favoritism. You know, in other words, better assignments, better working hours, you know, whatever it is, it doesn't really make a difference. And whether it's real or not, as we know, sometimes doesn't matter either. The perception of it is really a big problem.
Yeah, but we also see that some people are uncomfortable with the potential show of affection that happens between individuals that are potentially in a relationship. And that can cause its own problems sometimes. Have you seen that? Is there something employers should do to help have that discussion? I'm assuming training is really the best approach to that.
Training is the best approach, one-on-one conversations with HR, with the participants in the consensual relationship about being careful and being respectful, because it really can make people very uncomfortable. And it plays into this idea of favoritism. So I think, you know, HR is used to having uncomfortable conversations all the time. Probably a day doesn't go by where an HR rep doesn't have an uncomfortable conversation about something. So we're all trained in how to do that. Doesn't mean that we like it. Doesn't mean that we're comfortable doing it, but we know how to do it. And I'd rather have HR do that in a tactful, polite, respectful way than have somebody bulldoze their way through it, which can cause all kinds of other issues.
Yeah, uncomfortable conversations are just part of the norm, isn't it? It is. And I will tell you, I have been in many investigation situations where people go, I don't really feel comfortable telling you what actually happened, because it's, you know, there's some real language there. And I go, it's okay. It's all right. You can share that information. I need to know what really happened to be able to help and understand it. Right. I mean, I'm sure you get the same thing in terms of it.
Oh, absolutely. And it really runs the gamut, you know, of these uncomfortable conversations. And there's a skill to it. You know, there's a training that goes behind knowing how to do an uncomfortable conversation, what to say, what not to say, and just a good sense of people's reactions. You know, I think you have to be a very good listener. You know, we're always looking at for that quality in HR folks. It's critical.
You are absolutely right. And unfortunately, I think that's a skill that isn't used as much as it should be. That's just a commentary there, but I do think that's true. You know, we're going to come back here and for the last segment, and we're going to have a wrap-up discussion about this. And I know that people will enjoy it. So you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
At highway speeds, the average text takes your eyes off the road for about 5 seconds. That's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Stop texts. StopWrecks.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law.com. I'm your host, Stephen Chulo. Today, you're listening to Deborah Weiss Ford talk about romance in the workplace on the HR Power Hour Educational HR Radio. Deb, we've had a great discussion about, you know, what I like to say, the things that happen in life, right? The human behavior of life and relationships. But employers are, you know, as we wrap up here today, are thinking to themselves, what do I really need to do? Well, what are the pros and cons to me actually doing these things? I know you have a good wrap up. So give me exactly the pros and cons if they do or don't do what they need to do in these areas.
Sure. So yeah, look, it's been fun. Thank you. It's a very serious topic, but I appreciate talking about it with you. It's been interesting. So look, for the pros of it, I think the employer is always trying to decrease sexual harassment litigation risk. And that could be by having a handbook policy, by doing trainings, by having some type of a contract with employees to make sure that we are dealing well with this imbalance in the workplace, with a consensual relationship, or even a balanced workplace and dealing with that factor as well. So that's one thing. We also want to really reduce the perception of favoritism, as we talked about a few minutes ago. I think that's really critical. And the more the employer does in terms of having a policy and doing trainings, the better off we are with reducing the perception of favoritism, because that's a morale issue, and it's maybe a recruitment and a retention issue as well. And then third, we want to create some kind of a forum that we can discuss professional workplace behavior. You know, these are good discussions to have in the workplace about what's okay and what's not okay, which of course has evolved as the workplace and as current events have evolved as well. So for me, those are on the pro side. The negative side, the con side that I think employers need to think about is the perception that employees may have. Is this an invasion of privacy? You know, that's the pushback we get all the time. It's my life, my love interests. I'm not going to do anything that's going to reflect poorly on the employer. Get out of my business. And of course, we get this pushback all the time and lots of other topics. But you know, the short answer to that is that it while that should be considered, the overriding issue is the respect in the workplace and that people feel comfortable in the workplace. So that's one thing. Also, from an HR perspective, you don't really want to be in charge of a relationship. You know, I don't really want to know whatever, as long as it's not spilling over to the workplace. If you're out on a Saturday night, I don't need to know. It's your own business. And I really don't want to deal with those situations. So we always have that balancing act with HR into what's okay and what's not okay. And then also these contracts, for example, they're not always enforceable. I mean, having a love contract is probably not an enforceable contract. I mean, for me, I don't think employers should worry about whether it's enforceable or not. I don't think that's the point. The point is that we are alerting the employees to a potential situation in a workplace, and we are letting everyone know that it is not okay if it goes south and falls into the realm of retaliation or harassment or discriminatory behavior. I think that's what the point is. And I think if we keep those pros and cons and that balancing in mind, that's how we reach what's a reasonable resolution, I think, for employers and employees.
Yeah, well, I'm going to be speaking with you here in just a few days at the Maine HR convention on Wednesday at 10:15. We have Ask the Lawyer, of course, if you're going to the Maine HR convention. Great. Again, great sponsor here of the show. Please make sure that you see us at the event and also Deb and I's presentation on Wednesday, the 11th at, I don't know what room we're in, but I know when we get there. It's going to be great to be back live, won't it?
It will be. Excited for that. And it's a beautiful location. So I'm
it is a beautiful location. Sam set up in Maine. So Deb, it's great having you on the show. I appreciate it. And again, I will have you back guaranteed soon.
Thanks, Dave. Good to be here. And thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio on News Talk, WLOB.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. And catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk, WLOB, 100.5 FM, or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.